a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you into the 9 o'clock hour. We go. Shout out to our boy George Lindsay. Ooh. He's the one of the morning DJs over on the Morning Bull. There's all these signs on the wall in the studio, and they're congratulating him, and they've got tacos, and they've got streamers, and he's got a gold hat on with a dollar sign on it. And I'm like, what's going on? 50 years in radio today.
50 years in radio?
50 years in radio today for George Lindsay.
I honestly wouldn't have thought he'd be old enough to do that. That's good for George and his youthful demeanor.
Started at 15 years old. So
did he?
Yep.
He started like working at a radio station or something when he was 15?
That's what I said, so it's been a continuous 50 years? He said, yes. Yeah. So he said, sometimes it was part-time, you know, but always getting a check in radio, you know, that's... Which I think that's just the function of the radio business through the year. If you're in it for 50 years, there will be a spell where you're part-time probably, you know?
Especially like as country music has, like, country has been basically like seven completely different genres over the course of the last two decades.
Bingo.
He's really rolled with all the different changes and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking up at that on the wall. I'm like, 50 years, man. He's like, yeah, I started at 15. I'm like, yeah. They pull this celebration for me someday. I'll be 88 years old in the studio. Dude, I did my first radio show at age 38. I don't know
you
that
I still sound young.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
that's the biggest thing is you don't have to, even though by then we'll be almost exclusively streaming probably.
Yeah.
So your appearance will matter a little bit, but as long as you don't sound old, you'll be just fine. Look at Mad Dog. Like, how old's Mad Dog Russo?
Mid 60s, probably, I would guess.
But he doesn't seem like, you know, the two guys I think that maintain a youthful demeanor, even as Mad Dog Russo is the consummate grumpy old man.
Yeah.
He's the exact same personality. He was a grumpy old man when he was 25 years old.
No doubt. Yes.
So he's still got a very youthful spirit to him. And then like Regis. Regis didn't really have success in TV, large scale success, until he was, I think, well into his 50s.
Yes.
And kept it going just because he was high energy.
He was high energy, man. Who wants
you know
to
your
be
buddy, my friend Jeff Farragher, who went to Notre Dame around the same time as you, he dated Regis Philbin's daughter for a long time in college.
Did he? Oh, yeah. I know one of them, JJ, was friends with my brother.
JJ was his girlfriend.
Okay. Yeah. Kevin was friends with JJ. That's cool. Wow, 6 degrees of separation from me and Farragher. It's either
you
like
and I are basically Eskimo brothers.
Yeah. Exactly what I was going to say. That's exactly what I was going to say. We're Eskimo cousins.
We're Eskimo buds.
I don't know that. I think my brother was just friends with her. I don't think that.
Right, I know, but he knows her and she knows Jeff.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Jeff is one of my best friends from high school.
Right. Eskimo cousins. Sean and Seth, Eskimo cousins. All right, let's get to Bobby Slowick. Bobby Slowick and the Texans were catching all sorts of heat for the plays where Kate Stover wound up singled up on Jonathan Grenard.
Yeah.
Let's hear from Bobby Slowick, and then we'll hash this out. How fair or unfair is the criticism over that ending up being the case so many times during that Vikings game? Do defenders have an advantage when they're blocked by non-O linemen, Bobby?
I think, you know, everyone always talks about tight ends blocking D ends, and I used to be on defense, so I get it. You know, like a coach outside linebackers, and it was always, I can't believe they have a tight end blocking you. Like, that's embarrassing, you know, and all that. But really, everyone in the NFL does that. You know, you have to have variety in protections. You got to be able to do things with your front to help the front out when teams are gaming, so you're not just 5-0 all the time. You also got to be able to go 5-0 often and get the tight end out. You got to be able to do full turns where a tight end and a back are both in. Like, there's everyone does multiple protections. It really shows up when you don't execute them well, you know, and there were a number of times, you know, we had some tight ends in position on D ends that we didn't even have the right footwork from the start, you know, and that's going to be a really tough down. We know the issue when we call the protection. I would say starting point is on me. I probably did it too much, and particularly too much too early. But it's a difficult defense to go against, and we got to be able to handle different ways of attacking it.
Yeah, Kate Stover got snowed under early in that game.
He got destroyed by Jonathan Grenard. And I said this on Monday. I said this on Sunday right after the game. There it is. It's one of these things that happens all the time, and you don't notice it until it doesn't work out. And it's very easy to get on and say, I can't believe they had a tight end blocking that guy. Now, like on that specific play, it was full turn protection. I would say full-turn protection is something you do, but it's also something that bad teams do a lot because they don't have good blockers.
Right.
And I think it's a little bit of all of that. Cade Stover at some point does have to be a guy that you can trust more in pass protection. I think what Slowik said about how often they did it and when they did it in the game early on, yeah, maybe do that later on after you've already set it up to where defenses aren't as champing at the bit to try to get there. But it's one of the problems the team has right now, blocking in general. It's as much as we love the pass game in the modern NFL, old school pass blocking is still important.
And turns out.
Against a team like the Vikings especially. So I think Slowik can do better in terms of how often he does it or who he has doing it. But some of it does come down to, man, you've got to mix up your protections or you're just going to be sitting there. You're just going to be sitting there like lambs to the slaughter. So Cade Stover's just got to continue to get better and do a better job of, like he said, like actually using his proper technique and everything when he's blocking.
Yeah, they don't have many choices at this point. That's the thing. Like they lost Brevin Jordan for the season. You know, you can't just rip out pages of your playbook. You got to.
The two things that I always. It goes viral on social media all the time. It's that what Bobby was just talking about. As a defensive, like Jonathan Gernard said that after the game, like, it's insulting that they would have a tight end block me. They'll do it against better defensive ends than you, Jonathan Gernard. So there is that. The other one is always when defensive backs will say, yep, we knew exactly which routes were coming.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's not that uncommon either. It's when the guys, when you don't have good wide receivers running those route combinations, that's when it's really lethal. So it always comes back on the offensive coordinator. I don't absolve Bobby Slowik from any blame in that game because at the end of the day, it is the execution of the offensive line and the tight ends that are his responsibility, and those guys aren't good at it right now.
Yeah.
The blocking in both the run game and pass game is not good enough, and that's all on the offensive coordinator.
Is 5-0 protection basically just where you got to protect with just your five offensive linemen?
It's five-man slide protection usually where, it's 5-0. It's five offensive linemen.
Yeah.
If you hear a 60 at the front or a 70
tight
at the
end.
Front, it's a, with 60, it's just six men. Sometimes it's a running back. Sometimes it's tight end. 70, it's seven-man pass protection.
Yeah. Sometimes these coaches don't realize that we're playing this stuff on the radio. And Bobby, I get it. Bobby's not going to be like a radio host where he's like, hey, man, just 5-0 protection that I'm talking about.
Honestly, I like to make fun of deep offensive linemen a lot, mostly because I just hate them. It's only because I hate them so much.
Right.
But I do. I have some friends who are offensive linemen, you know.
Yeah.
A few. They've been to my house for dinner. I'm not a bigot or anything.
Right.
I just wouldn't let one marry my daughter. That's all. So when it comes to offensive linemen, I generally despise them.
Yeah.
Having said that, pass protection, even at the high school level, it's hard, man. it's really, really hard. I talked to my friend Drew Hodgson about this a lot. Mm-hmm. I really wish I had learned as much about pass pro while I was a player as I have since then. Because I think they don't generally bother teaching it to defensive linemen as much, at least back in the old days, because most of us aren't that bright. But it's pretty damn complicated. That's why it's so annoying whenever I'm like really want to crush an individual offensive lineman, and I send tape out to some of my former teammates. They're so annoying. Even the good ones, they're so annoying because they're like, well, I don't know exactly what the rules are on this, and exactly it could have been one of seven things here. I'm like, oh, come on, let me just yell at this guy. Come on.
They're taking up for their own, man, you know?
No, it's not even that. No, Drew's not a – Drew is a spiteful, vindictive person.
Is he?
Yeah. To his credit.
To his credit.
He's got enough – Drew should have been a defensive lineman because he's got a lot of unchecked anger about
angst.
Him.
Yeah.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Let's hear more from Bobby Slowick here. What positives did you take away from the ass-kicking in Week 3?
Yeah, I thought the way CJ operated was really good. I thought the way our receivers played in the pass game when they faced man coverage, they did a great job. You know, I thought we had a large number of explosives if you count the plays that were nullified by our own penalties. And those really for us were drive killers. When we were able to stay positive and stay on track, I mean, we were doing what we wanted. Really until the game started getting away from us at the end. And once we started getting too far behind the chains due to our own mistakes, it became tough. It's a tough defense to put yourself in that position.
And that is why Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, and CJ Stroud are in the circle of swarm this week.
Yeah, they were. I mean, they made plays in that game that ultimately don't help you. It doesn't mean that it's a good offense or anything, but they were doing the things they had to do versus what, in my opinion, is genuinely a very good defense, the Vikings defense. They make it really hard to operate. CJ was making some next-level throws in that game, and about half of them were wiped out by penalty. And there were penalties. It wasn't like it was wiped out by an offensive pass interference penalty that led to it. It was wiped out by a false start or an illegal formation that likely didn't really spring that play. It's just it was really, really annoying.
So all this stuff, we hear Bobby talking about, you know, what went wrong, what went well, a lot more went wrong than went well, obviously. You bake it all together here. And add in the fact that there'll probably be no Tank Dell. We don't know what this Nico Collins situation is with his hamstring. And as of right now, I'm assuming it's Cam Akers starting at tailback. What is your optimism level for the game this weekend that the Texans start to look like the offense that we expected at the beginning of the year?
I think there's two things. One, on the Texan side of things, I think that they do get probably a very back-to-basics mentality this week. And they're not going against a defense like the Vikings where, man, you feel like, all right, we got to scheme up a bunch of different stuff against this scheme because this defensive scheme is such a headache and they can threaten you in so many different ways. I think they go back to basics. I think they play a much cleaner game in terms of the mental errors and the penalties. And the mental errors were almost worse than the penalties in this game when it came to just assignments in the run game and what have you. And then I think the other part of it is that I think the Jaguars are who they are defensively. They play a lot of man defense, and I think they're going to stick to it. And maybe they alter their scheme a little bit, but I don't think the Texans see as much zone as they have in these last 3 weeks. And there will be opportunities downfield. So Between those, I feel relatively optimistic that it's going to be a better version of the Texans offense. It's not going to make me feel any better about them versus the Bills. Even if the Texans score 48 points, I'm still going to be thinking about that Vikings game.
Yes.
And it'll be a step in the right direction.
Yeah, and you got the Bills coming to town the next week, too. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah, right.
I'm trying not to look ahead to the Bills, but my God, my brain keeps going there.
Same, man. Yeah, and well, you're doing a show with the wrong guy if that's the case. So, you know what I like, Seth? Forget about scheme and all this other stuff. I like the fact that I had to look up the name of the Jags defensive coordinator just now. Whereas last week, every question was about Brian Flores this and Brian Flores that. And if you're hearing a defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator's name that much, it probably means that the unit that they coach is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Ryan Nielsen is his name, by the way.
Well, Ryan Nielsen, for two reasons. One, if I wanted to act like I was Joe Football, I'd be like, well, clearly, Sean, you don't remember the Falcons game from last year where he was the defensive coordinator.
I remember the game.
Also,
yeah.
But also, he's got one of those funky modern mustaches, and it makes him really hateable. It's just, he's got that mustache. You know how I feel about the modern mustache.
Yeah.
Every time I see one, for a little while there, only guys who were wearing the mustache ironically had the mustache. And I'd be like, oh, this is probably a funny guy. And now it's everybody. Dude has a mustache. I'm like, oh, you're just as boring as every other schmuck I know. Yeah. So because they were asked that a lot, both CJ Stroud, D'Amico Ryans, and Bobby Slowick were asked about, hey, you've got some familiarity with him because he was the offensive coordinator in Atlanta last year. How much carryover is there? I would say with defensive coordinators especially, you might kind of know what they like to do, but they got to do what their personnel can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing there's not as much carryover to where they feel they know exactly what Ryan Nielsen, the defensive coordinator, is going to do in this game. I think this is much more about the one-on-one matchups.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We're going to give away some Cougs tickets in the next segment. So be listening for that. Cougs, Iowa State, this is the last chance to win tickets this week. We're going to do that in the next segment. We're talking about all this stuff with the Texans and the offense, and it feels like a lot, man. It feels like, you know, the protections and the offensive line and the run game and things like that. Take a step back, and I'll let you listen in on audio about another team in the NFL, and you'll be very thankful that the Texans' problems feel fairly minor compared to this. We've got that for you coming up next.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything, and that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!